Rose, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We are recording show number 229. This is April Fool's Day, first day of April 2008, at the Little Ranch House Studio, right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Good to have you with us. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, the incomparable Don Patterson.
Yeah, okay, Thomas. Now, where did you say we're recording live at the Little Ranch House?
I look around.
I've looked under the tables.
Well, that is where it's being recorded, though.
And he's got a point there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Don Shaw's in the house. Hi, Don.
Hey, Mr. Tom. What's going on today?
Oh, man. It's looking good outside. I think we may get a little bit of rain. I don't know. But
yeah, it's coming.
It's kind of cloudy. It's supposed to be coming, but it's been supposed to be coming for several days now, and I hadn't seen that much.
Well, y'all just missed the boat then. Some folks Sunday got plenty of that.
I saw that. My name's Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is, folks. Here's the star of the Blind Handyman Show, the creator and producer, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Paul.
I give you...
You did what?
I give you Phil Parr.
Oh, I give you Phil Parr.
Listen, you didn't get any rain Sunday?
I got a little bit, but I didn't get as much as that been predicting.
We got your share then.
I thought the bottom was going to fall out or something. I mean, I've had my lights go off and all that stuff.
Well, isn't it interesting? You live right in between it. You know, they got hail. Up here, pretty severe hail over in Brook Hollow.
And also in Corrigan.
And then they got hail in Corrigan, so you were...
Yeah.
It didn't hail at my house either. We got rain pretty good, and electricity blinked at me about three times, and normally that's the death knell when it goes off that third time, but it came back on, so... But I don't even reset the clocks anymore. It goes off so frequently. I just...
Well, we had a good day. We just stayed in and did nothing all day long, and then... But welcome to the summer of 08. We've got the air conditioner on, and last week we had the heater on.
Yeah.
So, it's probably 85 degrees out there right now. Dogs' tongues are hanging out.
Yeah, no kidding.
So is mine.
My wife's been freezing me to death. She loves the air conditioner being on. I'll tell you, I'm on this blood thinner, I go around cold all the time. I'll go outside to get warm.
Yeah, I've done that. Go out and sit in the sun.
Uh-huh.
Our electric company's going to love you for that, Mr. Tom.
I just switched electric companies, by the way.
Again?
I did. I did it again.
Who did you go to this time?
Ambit.
Did you have Stream?
Did I have who?
Stream.
Stream Energy?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, so now you're with Ambit. What is their rate?
9.9.
Goodness.
Wow.
9.9 all the time, guaranteed for 3 years.
9.9. I don't know that it's guaranteed for 3 years, but I've got the gold month-to-month deal.
Yeah.
And it's 9.9 cents per kilowatt hour.
Nice rate.
That's nice rate, but it's not locked in. I mean, they didn't have one that you could lock in?
Well, yeah, there's two or three different choices. I don't remember exactly what they were, but there was one there that you could lock in, and it was higher than that.
Yeah, imagine.
It was a little bit higher.
Well, I got mine with Stream for 11.33, but now TXU keeps sending me letters about once every other week saying, why don't you come back?
Well, I've been getting those myself, and I thought they were going to give me money to come back and all that stuff, and it was tempting,
right.
I have to admit, because a penny or so here or there, I don't know that it makes that big a difference on your bill. Maybe it does. I don't know. I'm looking to see here. 9.9 is about a penny or a penny and a half cheaper than what I was getting from direct.
Here's the difference. For 1,000 kilowatt hours, I pay $110.33, and you pay $99. So, at the average, you're going to use 3,000 or 2,500. So, you're going to save you're going to save $30 more than me, and I'm saving better than I did before I changed.
Yeah. I stayed with TXU, and I've got a locked-in rate, so we'll see in 2 years, okay?
What's your rate locked in?
I have no idea. About 87 cents.
Yeah.
All the market will bear, right?
I think it's 12.2.
12.2.
I think that's what it is. That's locked in for 3 years, guys. We'll see in a year, you know, when they're raising. Anyway, it's...
I see where you're coming from there, because I sold long-distance telephone service.
Yeah.
For a long time back years ago, and back when Ma Bell was making all the money, and we were cutting into the rates of Ma Bell with all different kinds of companies. And I don't know, right now, I'm not sure on the telephone bill what's what. I mean, the cell phones have entered into the picture and all that, and it's confusing.
Well, yeah, but with electricity, you're always going to need it, and you're always going to have, you know, long distance is free, basically, now.
If you've got the right package, it's free.
If you know how to do it. That's why my AT&T stock's worth 30 cents a share.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth a lot of money. Anyway.
Yeah.
And this hot afternoon, let's start the summer off by reading a few list mails. What do you think?
Okay, I've got a weed eater question here.
All right.
Weed
eater that someone gave me, not sure what kind it is, but it's a cheap one. What I would like to find out is the flywheel on a weed eater heavy enough to run the motor without the shaft on it. Now, like most smaller lawnmowers, have to have the blade on it to run. Does a weed eater have to have the shaft with the string on it? That's it.
I have no idea.
Good question. Actually,
the lawnmowers back in the old days had to have the blade because it acted as a flywheel, more or less. But I'm not sure about the weed eater.
Don, you said you had all weed eater questions covered.
No, I don't. My question would be...
What? Why?
Why the hell does he want to run the thing without the shaft? What? I mean, is he just wanting the engine to, I guess...
Yeah, to run something.
And I have no idea. You know, it's a two-stroke engine, which might put it in a little different category, like, you know, little model airplane engines are two-cycle and two-stroke, but they have the propeller on them, so I have no idea, but I would sure like to know why.
Well, I'm kind of like you. How hard would it be to find out?
I mean, the reason why I'm wondering, like, you know, my chainsaw is basically about the same size as some gasoline weed eater engines, and it runs, but is the chain, the flywheel, it turns a shaft, it turns the thing that does that. So,
yeah.
I mean, the best thing I'd say to do, if it'll start with the shaft on it, take the shaft off and start it.
Or take the flywheel off and start it.
Yeah, I mean, take the...
Well, that kind of touched on a response that I went ahead and got that I thought I would read.
Okay.
It says, I've never tried to run one without the shaft and cable connected, but I would imagine you could. It is more like a chainsaw with a centrifugal clutch than a lawnmower engine. They idle or are supposed to idle without the string turning. One thing to keep in mind if you decide to try it, the engine will scream in a hurry if you get it running. There won't be the normal drag created from firing the cable and cutting head. Give it a try and see what happens, Bob.
There wouldn't be any load on it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, like I say, knew more about chainsaws and the idling, but that is the point well taken. Like, if you start your chainsaw and then it's in its idling mode, your chain is not turning.
Yeah.
And you start your weed eater and its string is not going either. So I think it'll do it. I just still wonder what the hell he's going to do with it.
What does he want? What is the point? Is what I'd like to know.
Tell him to send us an email.
Either. That's what I was trying to figure out. Do you know anything about central vacuum systems?
We know everything.
I was in a house one time and I had one. That's about all I know.
This guy says, hi there, I'm moving to a new house and wondering about the... It may be a girl. I'm moving to a new house and I'm wondering about the wisdom of investing in a central vacuum system. The house is all on one floor with a partially finished basement, has about 2,200 square feet. What comments or recommendations do you have? Thanks, two dogs. Want to clean house.
They don't do that anymore. They don't make houses like that anymore, do they?
Well, I mean, she's saying, or he or she is saying they want to invest in it. That I would assume it, that, I mean, she's moving there anyway. I didn't put the two together. So it sounds like something she, he or she says they could add on.
Well, you could run it through the basement, I suppose.
My thing about it is, for blind people anymore, I would consider the robot vacuum cleaners. They run, they go back and recharge themselves, and you can program them for one room or several rooms. And we're talking about maybe a $300 to $400 investment. And about all you have to do is empty the little thing out about twice a week. And they, I mean, I would consider that more than spending a lot of money. What the central vacuum does is what you have an outlet in every room, so then you just hook your attachment there. I would buy a good Sears or a good Hoover vacuum cleaner and forget it. You know?
I don't know where you'd get a central vacuum. If there'd be anybody who would install one, they'd have to run the pipes through the basement. They'd have to be pretty good-sized pipes. They'd have to come up through the wall or up through the floor. And I saw an old house one time. George and his wife bought a house up here on Fagan Drive that had one. That's the only one I've ever seen. You ever seen one, Sean?
I haven't. I've never seen one.
I think it's something that came and went. Now, I mean, it may be more popular up where basements and everything are common, where you could keep all your compressor or your whatever the whole deal is the trash is going to go to a central spot, and then you're still going to have to clean it. And I think just a good vacuum would do.
Our guest we had on the show here a few weeks ago, Bob, was set on the list. He had one, but, you know, I think that was an existing house, and it just, you know, said he liked it. You know, the couple of people I heard from on the list that's got them said they really like them. But
I thought it was a pretty neat idea, the one that was in this house, but I don't know, to retrofit a house with one would cost a lot.
Yeah, seems like it.
There was one response on here that saw a problem with it. It was, he called it a trivial problem. He says, Howell, I work in a home with such a system, and I have found one important but otherwise trivial problem that one might not look for, the outlets where you connect the vacuum hose. In the one house I work in, if you place repeated pressure on the outlet, meaning if you pull too much on the hose, since the hose has little give in terms of stretching capability, it can, and in my case, did pull out of the outlet to the point where the wires were hanging out of the wall, and the outlet housing was stuck to the hose end. Now, you might be wondering how and why the outlet came along with the hose end when it was pulled, and or why the hose simply didn't come off the wall outlet when the hose was pulled. Well, the simple explanation is that the outlet looks like a pet door on a regular home door. It consists of a flap that covers the outlet when not in use. This flap has a lip that slides over the end of the hose when it is connected to the outlet, not allowing it to come off so easily. Uh-huh. I guess this is done as a safety precaution and as a feature, as those hoses would come off quite easily given the pressure with which you apply it when vacuuming. The owner has had to replace several outlets because of this, and as you can imagine, it's not easy to do with wires connecting the outlet to the hose. Just something to think about in terms of future maintenance on such units. This came from Victor.
What wires? What wires is he talking about?
I don't understand that either. I mean, when you pull that out, it seems like to me that there wouldn't be any wires behind the outlet.
It's just a pipe that's got air pressure on it, like your air compressor, isn't it?
I'm just wondering if the wires are I've never really examined one either closer, or like some kind of locking mechanism that when you put the hose on, something
clicks and turns the vacuum on.
Yeah, or I have no idea.
Could be.
Or maybe if that's the automatic, you know, maybe that's where when you put it on there, it's turning the vacuum. There may be some.
But you ought to have sense enough not to yank it out of the wall.
I wouldn't do it. Whatever your question, I wouldn't do it.
I'd buy a Hoover and be done with it.
By the iBot.
I'm
robot.
Sure we've been
a lot of
might
be easier.
I'm sure we've been a lot of help to this person.
We're two for two.
I mean, they,
you can bet these two will never come back.
Here's a little vacuum cleaner advice from an individual, and I've had this here for several weeks and never got around to reading it. But it says, ever had that nasty smell of burning rubber come from your vacuum?
Yeah.
Well, it
for
may
sure.
not be due to something large that the vacuum has just inhaled. After checking that there isn't a shoelace or a sock in the mouth of the vac, try again. If you're still smelling the burning rubber, it may be a buildup of material, as I encountered this weekend. We have a dog. The dog hair and the carpet fibers had wound themselves like a felt cord around the beater brush roller. They escaped my regular inspection, as I often take the strands from around that roller when they are between the brush bristles. However, these fibers were around the roller at the point where it rotates or rolls within its housing. Mm-hmm. Restricted roller, belt frictions, stench, and stress belt life, or stretch and stress belt life. After unplugging the back, I unscrewed the bottom using a standard screwdriver. A stubby or screwdriver with inserted tips may not work, as the screws were in deep pockets. Taken off the underplate, I was able to lift the roller under belt tension under belt tension from its mounting and release the belt from one end. I then had to use a razor blade and a sewing needle to cut and lift the threads from the junction where the roller fits into its riveted end cap to let it roll freely again. After doing so and reinstalling the roller back into its slot and replacing the underplate, I was able to hear again the sound of the brushes spinning freely as the motor spun down after turning off the switch, and realized I hadn't heard that for a while. Heck, at $5 or more, a small belt, it couldn't hurt to sit with it for 10 minutes to clear that away and maybe even stress the motor a bit less. Hope it's applicable as helpful to the list.
Good advice.
This came from Spyro.
Well, I think it's excellent advice, and I'll tell you, it just hits on another point that I talked about here 2 months ago or something, when I got my clean your icebox lesson from the Sears guy. If you have pets, then it's going to be tough on your appliances.
Yeah,
they shed, and then especially like with central heat and air, and sometimes that creates little drafts, and then like with the motor on the icebox running, in a sense it acts kind of like it just attracts the dog hair. And you know, we have four dogs. Emily tells me that's normal, that everybody has four dogs. But anyway, and you gotta maintain your stuff. I mean, you gotta clean the vacuum cleaner roller once in a while, or it's not gonna function.
Well, the refrigerator is just an air compressor. I mean, it has a little fan that draws air across the coil.
Yeah, and it's gonna suck that hair all right in there. I got my brush.
It don't know hair from air.
That's
true.
So it just goes right on. I need to do mine. Mine says, need new filter, my new refrigerator.
It does. A water filter.
I guess a water filter.
Oh,
You ever done one of those?
Yeah, and they have $56 a pop, and that's why they put them in there, just because they tell you need one about every 3 months. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Gracious.
Every time the Sears man comes out, he says,
I'm going to take it out and leave it out.
Okay, that'll be
interesting. I don't want filtered. I don't need filtered. I'm happy with the water. Water's filtered already.
I think you ought to be able to respond verbally to those. I changed it already.
Yeah. My talking thermostat says, Monday morning, 8:15. Operating hours indicate you need to call for service.
I'll tell you when I need
to call for service. Yeah. I don't need advice from my thermostat.
From your damn refrigerator.
I'm married to Lou Ann. I don't need advice from anybody.
Yeah.
I don't need advice from anyone.
Well, there's another one I've had a while, Phil. Right, I want to read real quick.
We'll do
a
quick
short one.
Go ahead.
But living here where I do, I see a lot of horses come in front of my house.
Really?
Yeah.
In fact, I saw my 8-year-old on a horse for the first time ever the other day, and we got some pictures of her in front of the house, of the horse down the street. But this is regarding uses for horse manure. And after reading this, I thought maybe I would get my chair and a shovel and a little and start following these horses around. This is from, you remember Clifford Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we all
sure. Everybody knows Clifford. We love him. He's coming. He's coming in October, by the way.
Good.
He says, "Dear List members, I live about 30-minute drive from a mushroom-growing operation, and the primary material used for growing a variety of mushrooms is truckload after truckload of horse manure. When the manure is replaced, there are many folks in line to purchase the used manure, as it will turn poor soil into productive soil. Gardeners and landscapers value the product for use in their work. After the manure has been utilized for the mushroom growing, it resembles the compost you described. In fact, the product can be bought in plastic bags right along with large bags of mushrooms." Hmm. And that came from Clifford Wilson.
Well, you know, what's your line? She was only a cowboy's daughter, but all the horse manure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's all I had.
Man.
That's pretty much all I had.
All right. Tell that what? Again, Philip.
She was only a cowboy's daughter, but all the horse manure.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I mean, he said it was valuable stuff. I may get my
horse manure.
This is some of these horses around.
Yeah, open a sales operation there.
All right, this is
right. Put it in plastic bags.
Houston horse manure.
Put a big.
Now you know, Thomas. Thomas, now you know why everybody likes it when the circus comes to town. Think of all those elephants.
There you go. Yeah, there
that's
you
right.
Go.
All right, I'm going to pass on the elephant joke, I know, but we'll go right on.
But anyway, Thomas, today we're 4 out of 4, right? I mean...
Oh, you've done good today.
Yeah, well,
good
that's right. Four
for especially,
yeah.
Especially with that weed eater question.
That's
we really
right.
Am. Yeah. Listen, we're going to go, and I'll check with you next week. Martha home or not?
No, she's still down there and holding her own, I might add.
So you and Cleet have got the house by yourselves?
We have for a while. We don't have the entire house all the time by ourselves, but we're by ourselves more than we've been in a long time.
More than you've been in a long time. Well, that's good. I won't comment. Anyway, that's good. Tell her hello, and we'll talk to you next week, if not before, sir.
We'll see you guys.
Thank you much.
Later, Thomas.
All right, let's push the button here and see. Hear that noise, Sean? Are we good?
Yeah, there it is.
There you go. There's the noise. All right. We'll get our guest on the phone and be right back. I'm Phil Pardon, Sean Don Patterson. This is the Blind Handyman you're listening at. Excuse me. Anyway, welcome back to the old Blind Handyman Show. Our guest today is a fellow that's been with us before. Pete, how are you, sir?
Hey, pretty good.
Pete, make a check for a minute. I always have to ask you this because I forget, you know, and I talk to a lot of people. Where are you and what's it like there?
Oh, I'm at the far end of Long Island on a little island off the end.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a rainy spring day, but
I remember.
It's warm.
I do remember. You're out in the middle of nowhere, aren't you? Yeah, kind of.
Not really. I've kind of been sort of near the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Near the Hamptons now. And that's some nice, I mean, that's a big tourist up there,
yeah,
the Hamptons.
Yeah, definitely.
Lots of tourists. I do remember you, but I talked to so many people, it's hard to.
Pete always takes on the really large projects.
Yeah.
The really big deals.
The really big stuff, huh?
Yeah.
That's you. So it is a beautiful, warm, sunshiny day there.
No, actually it's raining, but
it's raining.
Warm.
It's raining, but it's warm.
Yeah,
huh?
I think I'm not going to turn the heat back on anymore.
No, I don't think we will either. In fact, we've got air conditioning on today. It's
really?
It's probably, it's over 80, I would say, in Texas. And once it starts, we may have one more little cold snap, but that'll be it till sometime in September.
I don't know if your electric bill is worse than my oil bill, but my oil bill was really bad this year.
Yeah,
I bet.
Oh.
Electric bill is going to be bad. I don't see how people living on minimum wage make it. You know, I don't see how those girls that work for my wife in her office, she pays more than minimum wage, but I don't see how they survive.
Yeah. When I was a kid, everybody's thermostat was on 72.
Yeah.
Then it went down to 68, like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I think now the 58 is the new 68.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still, I bet it was, man, yeah, what the oil prices, man.
You kept your house this winter at 58? Did you really?
Yeah, kind of during the day. If I was just in one room, I just have like a little space heater on in one room, and in the house, you know, just put it on at night for a little bit. Otherwise, like a down vest and a sweatshirt with a hood is my regular around the house.
That's your new uniform.
You're running around with that in your house now. Yeah, your furnace really burns oil. I mean, it's an oil burner.
It burns it. That's for sure.
And you work on that yourself?
The oil burner? No.
Yeah.
No.
You'd get somebody to come and do that.
So how many gallon oil tank do you have by your house for that you have to buy oil for?
Yeah, a truck comes and drops it in like a 275-gallon tank.
Wow, man.
Not even that big.
That's a lot.
Whoa.
And per gallon price of that, Pete, is?
Oh, I don't even know.
I don't even want to know.
It's so sad. Every time the bill comes, it's like $400 or $500, and it comes more than twice a month sometimes.
But now this summer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it hurts, man. It hurts.
Whoa.
This summer, what will you get up to as far as heat and warm temperature in the summertime?
Well, it could hit 100 degrees, but that's not too often.
Yeah.
You know, 80, 90.
Yeah.
But it's pretty humid here. I mean, we're out by the water.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice. It's okay.
But on the other hand, you probably get some nice sea breezes blowing across.
Yeah. Actually, being near the water, it helps because in the, it keeps it cooler, and it keeps it warmer too. Because the water in the fall is warmed up, so it stays warmer. So it gives you like you stay a little bit warmer for a while.
Is this the guy from Long Island?
It is.
On the end of Long Island?
Yeah.
Don, how are you?
Pete Mikicek.
That's right.
Right. You've got a polka band, right? I've got some of your albums.
We always try to make you a polka.
I did not know who the guest was. I was indisposed here for a moment, and I recognized your voice. Good to hear you.
And you say that oil truck comes how many times a month?
Oh, who knows? I mean, at least twice a month. But now it's, you know, that's it. I'm just keeping it off. Forget it. It's April 1st. Used to be years ago, April 15th was the day the plumbers would open the summer houses because they didn't have to worry about pipes freezing. But now it's April 1st because pretty much, you know, even if it goes down to freezing, it's only in the middle of the night for a little bit, you know. I don't think it's even going to happen anymore.
Mankind has been around for thousands of years and didn't have air conditioning.
Didn't have air conditioning.
No, and he heated with, wrapped up in buffalo skins or something. Of course, a lot of people,
that's what I got.
A lot of people died back then.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the average age was 30.
Was 30.
30, yeah.
About it. Guys were, why do married guys die before their wives? It's because they want to.
Yeah.
So, Pete, your oil, you purchase it by the gallon? Y'all probably...
No, we cover it.
Yeah. Okay, so... Twice a month. My goodness.
500-gallon tank twice a month.
Goodness.
No, 275. 275 twice a month.
And it's like up there with diesel fuel?
Actually, it is diesel fuel, I think.
Oh.
I think it's pretty much the same, home heating oil.
Yeah.
I'm not positive, though.
I hear the independent truckers, the average price, they went on a little strike today. It's $4.10 a gallon. Diesel used to be half the price of gasoline.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's easier to make.
Truckers always got a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, the country is, we're going into, getting into something here. The housing market is down. The gasoline prices are up. Hillary Clinton's still in. So I don't know where the world's coming to. But anyway, that would be, could you, wonder if you could pour the grease from your hamburger cook into your tank there and.
Yeah, right. I'll start taking a shower and squeeze my hair in.
Anything to help. But anyway, it's over. Do you air condition at all?
In the summer?
Yeah.
I hate air conditioning, but my wife likes it, and most people have it. I'm not. You know what I don't like about air conditioning is the noise, because they don't have central air.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeping in a room with that thing on, it's like, God.
Yeah, that would be noisy.
Because anybody could creep up on you, and you'd never hear them.
Yeah, that's right.
Blind people don't like that noise.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, gotta have it quiet, man. My wife.
Yep.
I made her move her computer upstairs. Computer is her loft is open that has her computer. I made her put it under the desk. You know, because if it's on all the time when I'm down there, I can't hear anything.
You just hear the computer.
You know, hear that damn computer.
Yeah.
You know, go in, but yeah. Now we leave them on all the time. She put it under the desk, and that brought the noise down. So plus, I can't hear much anymore, so I guess that helps, you know.
Yeah, that's what happens as you get older, you know.
Yeah, it does happen as you get older.
I'll tell you, I have a story about getting older, too. I don't know. I have a shed in my backyard, and a tree kind of fell over a little bit. I guess it got soft and fell into the shed. Uh-huh. And was, you know, pushing up against, like, the gable side of this roof, just a little bit down from the peak. And it was so much that it pushed the shed down into the ground a little bit, and that really chewed up a lot of the roofing on top of the shed. And anyway, I finally got the tree cut down after a while. But I built this shed, like, 12 years ago. It's, like, 12 by 8 or something.
Uh-huh.
And so I was looking at the roof, and I had to, like, rip back a lot of the shingles to... Put, you know, shove some new ones underneath. I was going to put some flashing underneath and put some new shingles.
Yeah.
And I put the ladder up, and I climbed up to the top of the, top of the ladder, threw the shingles up on the thing, and then I just stood there at the top of the ladder, and I like lost my nerve. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I just stood there like I was, and I had built this roof, and it's pretty slanty, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I just stood there, and I was like.
Yeah.
And I lost my nerve to go up on the roof.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. We have three people here who are all nodding their heads and going, yes.
Right, right. So I went down the ladder, and I was like bummed out for like a day. I was like, geez.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to do. So, and I felt, I didn't even want to tell anybody. I was like, oh, man, this is, you know. So I found, actually, I was rummaging through some stuff, and I found an old rope ladder. So I took one end, I got some heavy rope, and I tied it to the other side of the shed,
uh-huh.
And I took the rope ladder and I threw it over the roof.
Oh, okay.
So it went all the way across and down, you know, a little bit down the other side. And then I climbed back up the ladder and I had the rope ladder there. And I threw a regular rope over too with some, like, knots in it.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, all right. I didn't want to, you know, and that helped. Then I got my nerve back, you know, and I went out onto the roof. And then once I was up there for a while, I kind of get used to it again, and but that was, I guess it must be about getting older, you know?
Oh, well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, the same thing happened to you, Pat, didn't it?
Well.
Not long ago?
We've lived in the house we live in for this coming next February will be 5 years, and right before we moved there, in the house I lived in had a roof that would equal any church. I mean, it's almost vertical.
Yeah, that's
okay. And
yeah.
I had a new roof put on by a bunch of outlaws, and so I went out one morning and shingles had blown off or were hanging.
Oh,
and I'm going, what is this deal? And so anyway, I tied a cable. I went to the hardware store and bought a cable and had them put some hooks on it. And I tied this cable around my riding lawnmower, which was pretty substantial, tractor-like.
Right, right.
And I threw it over the roof, and I had a ladder. This was the day that Don Shaw discovered he hated heights anymore because he was going to come and help me, and he wouldn't go out even on the shallow roof.
Yeah.
And
so I was actually almost standing up, hanging on a ladder that was hanging from a cable, and I climbed up it and fixed those and came back down and did it. And later on, I was using the cable for something else, and it broke.
It broke?
Yeah.
Wow.
But then the next year when we moved to our new house, I almost refused to get on the top of a 4-foot ladder, you know? It just happened like overnight. The older you get, the less balance you have, and the more afraid.
Even more wisdom we have.
Yeah, but the more afraid of heights. I can't deal with it.
How old are you, Pete?
52.
Yeah, that you're at the right age, because I was going to say I moved in the house that I'm in now probably when I was 44 and started going up on the roof every year to cover the turbines and uncover them in the spring.
Right.
And I've done that continuously every year since then, and I'm still doing it, but barely. I mean, it's just, I just dread going, and that's been within 10 years that, you know, I've run into these problems.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, or when I built the dog pen, you know, equal to the pavilion, I decked that roof. I mean, so I would, but it was a pretty, but I, it took me a while, like you said, you kind of got your nerve back.
Once
I got up there,
I'd go up the ladder and just kind of look, and then I'd go back down, and finally I said, you know, nobody's going to put this deck on but you. I mean, that's the only way it's going to get on, and so I went up there, but...
Yeah.
You ought to hear Dan Rossi tell the story about building. You know, you've heard our friend Dan Rossi on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He built a deck, and his deck is, you can stand up under his deck.
Right.
It's up, and so he put some boards on and didn't have some on. He said, I was like an idiot. I was out there crawling around on my deck.
Oh, because his board's missing.
Yeah, because his board's missing. Like, you know, it's not going to happen.
You don't get a second chance, you know?
Oh, you know. I used to, those falls. I fell in the shower the other day. Those falls hurt a whole lot more than they used to. yeah. Anyway, what projects have you tackled lately?
Actually, I haven't really done that much lately. I've been doing a lot of music projects, but I've neglected my poor garage. It had a little hole in the roof that turned into a bigger hole and then a bigger hole and a really big hole. And just the other day, I took a couple of step ladders and screwed them to the side of the garage and put a, you know, like a 2x10 across the top and went up there. And it was just wet rot, man. It was just, you just peel the pieces off. So I was just peeling the pieces off and throwing everything down into the garage.
That's kind of a nervy thing to do.
Hmm?
That's kind of a nervy thing to do, actually.
Screwed the step ladders to the sides of the wall.
Yeah, so they faced, so the steps faced each other,
uh-huh.
And then put a 2x10 across the top, and it's like a little scaffold.
Yeah.
But you got to really make it sturdy, because if you put it, especially if you put it on the top, or else you'll just kick it right out. So I just screwed them into the, because I think I'm going to take the whole thing down anyway. And actually, one of the pieces of the wall pulled out.
Wow.
Man.
This thing is really rotted.
Yeah, it's time to rebuild the garage. So, music projects, why wasn't aware that you were a music or player?
Yeah, I do a lot of recording and playing. And, actually, I just put out a video.
Really?
First Blind Guy music video. I didn't film it, but I did all the production stuff, and it was fun.
Well, really good. I had you on Blind Like Me and played some of your music?
That's fine, sure.
Well, can you email me some tunes?
Some stuff, yeah.
Yeah, email me 4 or 5 tunes, and I'd like to have you on as a guest and play, talk about your life and play.
What do you play?
What do you play? And tell us about your
accordion.
Music.
I bet you.
my best thing is bass.
Is that right?
Okay.
I've been playing rhythm guitar for like 30 years, so I'm pretty have pretty good timing. I used to play when I was in college. I paved my way through college playing in a bluegrass band, playing bass in a bluegrass band.
Upright or electric?
I played upright, but then I didn't really like playing upright that much, and it was a hassle to carry it around.
And it's a fight to play.
I love electric bass, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm much better anyway on electric bass.
So you play rhythm. You have a Martin?
Yeah, Yeah, I have like a 1988 Martin, which the bridge just started pulling up off the top. I brought it to a place in New York City, and they put it back down. You know, for years and years and years, I had the receipt, the Martin receipt, because I've always heard the urban legend, if you have the Martin receipt, they'll fix it for free forever.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at that receipt for years, and then just this year when I went to get the guitar fixed, I couldn't find the receipt. Couldn't find the receipt.
But the bridge came up. Is this a D28, Martin?
Actually, it's a D16.
So yeah,
it's not as big as a D28, but it's a regular size. You know, it's a pretty big guitar.
Play with a really stiff pick. Play hard rhythm close.
Yeah.
Well, you and I
bluegrass so many years ago. Your timing gets really, you know, because you're playing without a drummer and playing bass with a bluegrass band. The timing is that's kind of half your job right there. Is just keeping time.
Yeah.
So it really develops your timing.
Well, you and I are going to get along good, because that's what I play, is bass and rhythm and guitar.
Bass and rhythm guitar, yeah.
Yeah, I play a little. I play a little rhythm. I don't play as much as I'd like to, but
I've been going out and trying to find singers. I have a lot of music, and I've been taking singing lessons, but a lot of people sing a lot better than me, so.
At your age, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to sing good at your age. You're young, you know.
Yeah, that's true, but my true love is like recording and production, and I really like that.
What do you record with?
I have a couple of computers that I built, and I have a couple of decks that I use, the 8-track Fostex decks. I kind of like those. Actually, now that I did this video, I just bought Vegas a video editor, but that's hard, man. It's going to take me months to try to figure it out, even if it's accessible or not. Yeah. And a lot of the features of it are pretty good. I tried using Movie Maker, and there were pieces. A lot of Movie Maker is accessible, but some critical points didn't. I couldn't use.
Yeah. So you were no vision. You have no vision at all.
No, not anymore.
How do you like your Fostex? You know, I've been looking at a little 8 or 16 track recorder, and they're about, you know, a half or 2/3 the price of. Hey, Yamaha and Roland are crazy for their prices, and I've heard good things about the Fostex.
Yeah, I haven't had any trouble with it, and it makes pretty good quality. It's like 16-bit, it's not 24, but that's all right.
Is it a hard drive?
No, a flash drive.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, flash drive. That's the way to go.
That would be all I would need, is the late track, I think.
Yeah, what do you mix with? What's your mixer? What mixer do you have?
I mix it on the deck, and then I put it down into like SoundForge.
So this mixer has it. This Fostex has a mixer with it.
Well, it has it'll mix down the tracks to stereo tracks.
And yeah.
I can. The good thing is I have it plugged into an old computer that runs DOS.
Uh huh.
It runs Windows and DOS, and it goes through the. So I can do. Actually, one of these I bought a new one, and it wouldn't work right. I couldn't use a lot of the features on it, and I was having trouble with it. But fortunately, I'm an old like DOS computer programmer, and I was able to go and look at the system files for the Fostex deck and make some changes to them.
And
it works pretty good, and I can manipulate a lot of the, you know, the delete stuff. A lot of the stuff that's in the menus I can do on the computer, but now this deck isn't available anymore.
Don't you just love DOS? There's sometimes you can't do anything. You can only do it in DOS.
Right.
I'm not a programmer, but there's a couple of things that sometimes I go, man, if I had DOS.
Right. I have like two computers, three computers that still have it.
Whoa.
That are still running DOS.
Yeah, I keep them running. I used to have a computer. I used to build computers and sell them. So I have like pieces of computers all over the place.
Really?
I got to start getting rid of them. I put a bunch of stuff out in my backyard. I had old monitors, piles of old computers and stuff. And
yeah.
I just put it out in the backyard. And a friend of mine came over, and she came around the backyard, and she looked at all those things. She goes, "You're like a modern-day redneck. Instead of cars up in blocks, you got computers out
in the backyard." Yeah, that's pretty good.
Backyard full of monitors.
Yeah, out in the rain, like old printers out in the rain.
Yeah, because no one wants them, you know. They're...
Yeah, and if I take them to the dump, you know, sometimes the dump guy's like, that's like $15, throw that out.
Like, we've got a $2,400 computer sitting in the garage now.
The garage computer.
Yeah, it's a garage computer. Doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked for years, but I remember buying it. $2,400. My God, that's a lot. You know, sure.
I think my first computer was like $3,000. It was like had a 20 meg hard drive.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
20 megs.
20 meg hard drive, and I was like hot. I was like, whoa, 20 meg. Man.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I think my watch has more than that.
I'm sure it does now.
Yeah.
Man, I remember when Luann got her first computer that had a gig hard drive. I just thought that's so cool.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, the first computer I ever had two floppy disks, and they were the big 5-inch.
Yeah.
Actually, I set up the very first talking computers, talking PCs over at Baruch College, but way back, way back in the olden days.
Yeah, you had to boot up with a cassette or boot up with a floppy?
Yeah, floppy, yeah. Just had two floppy drives, that's all it was. And I think it was like 340K or something on the drive, or 360.
If you saved anything, you had to store it on one of these big 5-inch floppies.
Yeah, you couldn't even store that much. I mean, they had a word processor, you could save a couple of files. Actually, back then there weren't very many big files anyway.
We've come a long way, baby.
Come a long way, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll let you go and work on your garage.
I'm going to knock it down. So if you call me back, if I'm still alive, then I didn't fall on me.
Listen, you've got a recorder. Record the knocking down of the garage.
I have a video camera now. I'm going to put the tripod and put it on
YouTube.
We want to play it here on the handyman. We want to play the knocking down of Pete's garage. And you start a little descriptive video, descriptive audio of how it all works.
Okay,
all
guys.
Hey, thank you much, and we'll talk to you in a day or two, Pete. Thank
Bye.
You. Listen, do you have email address for me?
My email?
No, mine.
Oh, your email, sure, from the list.
Yeah, from the list. Send me 4 or 5 tunes, and let's do you on Blind Like Me.
Great.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you.
Bye.
Enjoy it.
Later, Pete.
Bye.
Man, he's not letting any...
got all kind of things going on.
Grass grow. I mean, just... 52 years old, still kicking along.
Interesting thing he talked about, that tree, just all of a sudden kind of encroaching. You know, when Hurricane Carla came through in 1961, my family and I lived in a little 1,000-foot frame house. And there was a tree that when they had built the house, it was probably 6-8 inches away from any part of that house.
Oh, yeah.
After that storm, that tree was up against that house, and it didn't do terrible damage, but, I mean, if it would have gone a half inch more, and when my dad had to cut that tree down, and I don't know if it just shifted or the wind just, you know, but that tree was...
That's too close to a house.
Yeah.
Its roots would get up under them. Like,
well, it was a frame house. It wasn't...
This was in Tomball?
No, in Houston.
Oh, this was
1961.
This was a house on Victoria Street.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there was a willow tree, a big old willow tree, and it had been. They tried to save it when they built the house. And like I said, I mean, it may have been further than 6 inches. That doesn't sound like much. But when after Carla, that was kind of like somebody. I mean, they had to get it down because it was.
We had a lot of wind in Houston, Carla. I was in Houston in '61, Carla.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, man.
That was just before. A lot of things happened to me right after that. Anyway, I was married in '62.
Hurricane. What was her name?
Let's don't mention her name. She's still alive, and she might sue us if she could. Ah, dear sweet Polly. Anyway, were we taking a break, or what are we going to
do? Yeah, might as well take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have five minutes or so.
You have something to talk about, right?
Well, I've got a couple of things.
We'll be right back.
One thing, anyway.
Hang on.
Never found it, never knew it, but it's the love I've been waiting for. Always hoping, always wanting someone I trust to unlock the door. A place of true understanding. I feel
trying. I don't know who that is, but she has a... Certainly has a nice voice, doesn't
it? It's not Diana Krall.
It's not Diana Krall. No. Not our favorite Diana Krall.
No.
But, all right, sir. What have you got?
Oh, you know, we did not ask Pete about the coming to Houston thing. We need to encourage that fellow.
He's on the blame.
Yeah, he'll get the message.
He'll get the message.
Okay, my dear sweet wife, sometimes a.k.a. the warden, so always kind of looks out for blind handyman sites and things that she thinks might interest her. She gets emails from different quarters pertaining to blind folks, being a teacher of the visually impaired. And there's a site, and I'll have to do the actual site, the www part, next week because I can't remember it. But anyway, there's a site that you can go to and get maps, tactile maps of particular neighborhoods all over the United States. I think it's kind of has something to do with like Google Earth or, you know, where they've done all of these satellite photos. You know, you can go look at where you live from a satellite view.
Right.
I've done it at my house where I live, and it's real strange, though it's old. It shows my swimming pool, which was done like 3 years ago, but it does not show my outbuildings that I've built in since then. So it's kind of like going back in time.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can get tactile maps if you lived in, you know, downtown Lufkin or Houston. You can get a tactile map on this website, and I think it's free. And it's I don't know how big the neighborhood. I don't know what it covers. I'll have more information, but I thought that was just cool.
They'll send you a tactile map. They send it in the mail to you, or how do they get
it? Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you download it or
could
it.
You print it on your Braille
or
emboss?
Or you could emboss it, and I think you have several options.
That's pretty cool.
And also, there's another site that if you'll send them email something or fax them, they will read it to you. Like if you have a fax machine or whatever, and you want something read, and you zap it to them, and they'll read it.
Now, that site's come up many times on the list here and there, and yeah, that's a pretty cool deal. Actually, if you have a bill or anything you can fax to these folks, they will have a volunteer call and read it back to you.
And you'd assume now that fax machines are inexpensive these days. Everybody has one.
Oh, yeah, less than $100.
Yeah, a lot of times your printer is your fax. Our little printer, and I paid $80 for it like 3 years ago, and it will scan fax,
yeah.
And print, and a fairly, I mean, really good quality. Really good quality, in fact. The problem, you know, like with bills, and it's better to fax them than trying to get a screen reader in because they're laid out in such odd format. I mean, that your screen reader just has no
idea.
Sometimes
it has trouble with bills.
And so if you really wanted to know, I'm not sure that at some point somebody will come up with a little machine. You know, you get like your water bill and electric bill. A lot of them are all the same. You just stick it in this machine and it'll read the whole.
We have that, but it's real expensive.
Yeah.
AFB reader would do that, but it's...
Ought to be a lot cheaper.
It ought to be.
Damn sure it ought to
They
be
ought to give it cheaper. To every blind person when they wake up blind. You're blind? Here you go.
That's right. Well, we thought the governor of New York was going to help us out in these areas, but he's got his own.
What kin is he to you?
No, I think his ancestors must have owned mine.
Don't say that. Well, that ought to get us. That'll be 229 will be it, kids.
Oh, no. I mean, anyway.
Anyway, I've turned him off. I had to take him out. It's Governor Patterson. He is Governor Patterson.
Governor Patterson.
Well, he's done everything. He's done cocaine, had several affairs, and smoked marijuana, and you know what they get him for. It's like, you know, heard Merle Haggard on this morning. So Johnny Cash found out Merle had been in prison. He said, Merle, you need to tell everybody you've been in prison. That way they can't put it in the tabloids.
Yeah.
And it worked out for him.
But, I mean, I think, look here. I mean, look at the wisdom of these people. They got, I mean, Switzer looks like a Sunday school teacher compared to this guy.
Yeah, they really, really improved things, didn't they? But at least he wasn't paying thousands of dollars for, you know.
Well, now they're looking into his campaign funds he was paying to rent these apartments for these dalliances. Yeah. I think now, actually... who's the former mayor of New York City? Giuliani is going to run for governor, and they think they're probably going to have a special election. They don't think this guy's going to last. We should ask Pete this.
They're going to have a special election.
Talking about that this guy will probably not survive.
And Giuliani's going to run for governor of New York.
Yeah.
And will make it.
Oh yeah.
And we'll no doubt get it.
Right.
But that's amazing.
I mean, out of the frying pan into the fire.
You'd think they would have investigated this guy a little more before they just, you know.
Well, you know, he actually got in legally, and then he was just in the procession rate. In other words, he's the lieutenant governor, and if the governor falls short, you take over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, partially cited. I read an article saying his eyesight probably sounded about like yours, you know, somewhat good partial eyesight. And it was a pretty good article. It's mostly talking about his eyesight and stuff, things he had done and what he can see and can't see. And
well, if he's going to be out, there's no point in me trying to interview him, is there?
I wouldn't think so.
Well,
he's going to be, you know, if he's not going to make it, we might as well. I got it. There's no point. I was going to try to get him on Blind Like Me, you know. There's no point in doing that if he's going to spend more time with his family.
Or spend more time with Larry King. I think we would have.
Has he been on Larry King?
I think they've been on some of these fess-up shows where he and his wife both admitted to having whatever.
Multiple affairs. Oh, well. We'll see you next week. Bye. Oh, we can't.
No.
Pete was such a good guest. He is
such a good guest.
Such an inspiration. I mean, he's just moving around, doing all kind of things, tearing his garage down. I think I'll tear my garage down.
Putting two lighters. Large project.
Screwing lighters to each side of his garage in the wall.
Last time we talked to him, remember he had the van and was pulling out this gigantic tree stump or some damn kind of thing.
Was that him?
Trying to move to the front. Yeah.
And he was driving. Driving the van.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, he can get away with that because he's just a mere child. He's like 13 or 14 years younger than we are. So.
Yeah. Anyway, a fine guest. Always got something going on.
Always got. And if I didn't know he played music.
Yeah, that we didn't know.
Doesn't everybody who's blind play music?
Almost everybody.
Almost.
Man. Me and John Connolly are probably the exceptions to that rule.
Be glad to teach.
You could drum pretty good, Shellboy.
Teach you a few chords on the old guitar, if you'd like to learn.
Well, he drums pretty good.
But then there's always another day.
Another day. All right. Let's do 1:30. I mean 2:30 next week.
All right.
By the way, at the reunion, it'll be 2:50. Show number 2:50 at the reunion. That's October 24th. 5th, 6th, and 7th of 2008, Houston, Texas.
All right.
Sheridan North. Come. Be there or be square.
More information will be posted to the list on this soon.
Very soon. As soon as I get a contract from this lady whose name is Kwanzaa Courtney.
What a name.
Kwanzaa Courtney.
Sounds good.
Is my lady down there.
Wow.
Anyway, we're going to go. Thanks, Don Pat, Don Shaw. We'll see you next week. Come back and see us. I'm Phil Park. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.